And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And geez, you know, second time in about 2 weeks, Mickey, that I am speaking with you while you're still on home base in Mexico.
New Mexico.
And considering your track record, are you itching to get back on a plane and visit some projects in far-off lands?
Well, I'm actually enjoying my time in Albuquerque, and I'm getting caught up on all my writing and doing lots of interviews, so that's good. But I will be on the ground in Peru in about 10 days. Looking forward to that.
Okay, no doubt that will form the conversation for a future program. For this edition of the show, though, we are continuing our look at some of the highlights from your recent 36-day marathon 8-country tour. Last time out, we zoned in on Portugal. Today, we're turning our sights north to Sweden. And at about 174,000 square miles, it's the third largest country by area in the European Union. Fairly small population, though. You were there, Mickey. You've done a lot of research. Fill in the blanks for us.
Borders Norway, Finland, and the Baltic Sea. It's a northern country, as everybody is aware, from about 55 to 70 degrees north. 85% of the people there are actually Swedes, but there's not many of them. 9.5 million, let's say. Low population density compared to most of Europe. Mm-hmm. That probably has to do with the fact that it's a northern climb. The south half is extremely densely populated for the most part, 85% urban. Stockholm has 2 million people. It's got a very high standard of living and very high GDP growth, so it's a booming economy.
Well, in my backpacking youth, Mickey, I stopped in Sweden. This was back in the early 80s. Didn't stay long, though, because as you can imagine, with carrying the world on my back, I was on a very tight budget. Found it to be very very expensive. Is that the case today? You know, you've been in countries throughout the world. Did you find Sweden to be an expensive place?
Well, of course, Rob. It's a socialist country, so that means it's expensive. I'm being a bit facetious there, but yes, it is an expensive place. And interestingly enough, it has been a one-party rule, a socialist government for 65 of 74 years, from basically the Great Depression till 2006. Now it's the government is center-right, but you have this legacy of socialism there. It is essentially post-war, World War II, a welfare state, and the government is something on the order of 53% of GDP.
Wow.
So it's amazing to me, being a libertarian and living in the United States, that a society that is basically a welfare state can function so well, and it does function very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just much different. For instance, until year 2000, there was a Church of Sweden. So, you know, in the United States, we're very used to separation of church and state. So you can just go through the various sort of parameters that you would use for a free society, and the United States and Sweden are diametrically opposed. So, but it does work. Mm-hmm. One way or the other, it works.
It works, yeah. We don't hear much about the economy of Sweden being in a lot of trouble, do we? Not certainly compared to what we were talking about last time out, and that was the economy of Portugal, which has been stagnant for quite some time. Taxes quite high there, Mickey, even by Canadian standards, for goodness sakes. I think I read that the average worker receives 40% of his income after taxes. So, you know, the tax man bites deep.
That's probably after the income tax and the local tax and the VAT, value-added mm-hmm. tax. But if you take all the taxation, the average worker takes home in what's called the tax wedge. He gets 15% of that. So that essentially means that he, for every 6 days he works, he takes home 1 day of pay for himself.
You're looking at that figure and saying, nice place to visit. Thank goodness I don't live there, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay,
I would say so, Rob.
Yeah, despite all that, though, Mickey, high taxes, very high cost of living, it doesn't seem to have held back the economy, as I've mentioned. In fact, the World Economic Forum has ranked Sweden as being the fourth most competitive economy in the world. So it's got a lot going for it still, doesn't it, despite everything else?
Well, it has high productivity. It's very modern, modern transportation. You just go down the list, healthcare. Maybe it is because it's a welfare state, and people are used to being supported by the government. I just really don't know. 80% unionized. Here's one thing that kind of stuck out for me is average sick leave per worker is 24 days a year, if you can imagine that. But despite all that, it works very well. It's very science and research and development and engineering oriented, comprises 4% of GDP. One way or the other, Rob, it works well.
Okay, well, let's drill down into what we like to really focus on in this program, Mickey, and that is mining. A lot of activity right now in Sweden, but give us a bit of a history of mining in that country and how the industry has developed over the decades.
Okay, very interesting. It has over 1,000 years of mining. That's probably none unexpected in Europe. Major mines developed in the 13th and 14th century, mainly for copper and iron. This is a very interesting factoid here for me. The oldest publicly listed stock company in the world is in Sweden. It's dated from, I think, 1388. Is a major producer of most of the metals that are important in the world. It's number one in the European Union in gold production, silver, copper, iron, lead, and it's number two in zinc. I just did a quick back-of-the-envelope calculation, and it's not scientifically done or it's not weighted, but I came up with it produces 45% of the European Union metal production. So it is very much a mining society.
Okay, and certainly right at the top of the heap in terms of mining activity in Europe. At the same time, is there still a lot of untapped potential for the industry to grow even further in that country?
Well, I think so, because there are major mining companies there, but there's a very small junior interest. And as we all know, the junior is the one to find ore deposits. It has a skilled and mining friendly workforce. In fact, there's sort of a tradition, and we'll see that in Finland too. We'll talk about Finland, I think, next time. And it's sort of a tradition that people on their weekends go out and they prospect. So you have this sort of ingrained culture that supports mining. They have great technical database, and in the Swedish Geological Society. You may be familiar with a company called Atlas Copco, which is Swedish, and it produces probably more mining equipment in the world other than perhaps Caterpillar, and that's a Swedish company. So the country has low geopolitical risk, favors government and economy, and very much supports the mining industry.
Okay, it supports the mining industry, and I believe the laws governing the mining industry certainly became much more friendly for the industry, didn't they? I think it was back in the early 90s, there were some significant changes made to those laws, and that those changes including the scrapping of a law which basically dictated that the state had to have a slice of the ownership of mining activity.
That's true, and that happened in 1992. And it happened many places in the world. I don't know if it was coincidence or not, but sometime plus or minus 1992, plus or minus a couple of years, many governments in the world relaxed the rules for mining investment. And at that point, the majors really came into Sweden, majors outside of the state mining company, Boliden, and people in the mining industry will certainly remember Boliden, but they revised the mining law, allowed foreign explorers, and there are rural tax incentives. The corporate tax is fairly low considering how onerous the taxes are on the individual. Corporate tax at 28%. There's a low cost and very secure mineral tenure system. No severance taxes on minerals. And get this, the royalty is 0.25%, and most of that will go to the underlying landowner. So all in all, I have a hard time finding any country in the world, Rob, that is more mining-friendly than Sweden.
Okay, so in wrapping up, Mickey, you like Sweden as far as the mining activity and the future of the industry goes. You give it a big thumbs up. Next time out, we are going to be talking about Finland. Give us a very, very brief teaser of a snapshot here about that country and your thoughts on Finland. We'll expand on it next time out.
Well, Finland is probably not as favorable as Sweden, but I will also give Finland a thumbs up, and we'll discuss the reasons for that in our next show in a couple of weeks, Rob.
Okay, looking forward to it. Thanks very much, Mickey.
Thank you, Rob.
That is Mickey Fult, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.